Something paranormal. Para X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering Radio Show here on the ParaX Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie. Welcome into another crazy show.
We'll see how crazy it ends up getting.
I know, right? How are you doing?
If it's anything like last month, first Tuesday of the month, it might get crazy.
It might. So, so we're kicking off our paranormal smorgasbord.
We are.
And the reason we decided to do this was because last month we just did the first Tuesday of the month, we just did a kind of a paranormal mishmash or whatever. And we had such a good time, and everybody, all of you wonderful listeners had, really good topics you wanted to talk about. And so we all talked about them, including some from us. And it was just such fun. We decided we would do it once a month. And then our fabulous producer, Sarge, came up with the name, the Paranormal Smorgasbord. So. Yep. This is going to be a regular feature on The Gathering Radio Show. So all of our fabulous listeners, pipe in now. Tell us what you want to talk about.
Well, it was cool because last month, like, no kidding, it was nuts. The chat room was nuts with all the, communication. For some reason, I couldn't say the word communication, oddly enough. It was fun. It was really neat with how many people were just piping in with all their experiences or different things that they wanted to talk about. So we got to do this again.
Yeah. So it's, we have, as we say, we probably have the best listeners on all ParaX, and so we have such a good time, and, they pipe in with what they want to talk about, or they have some really good ideas and really good stories. So this is fun. So this is what we'll do.
Yes. Absolutely. So what have you been up to this week, Steph, before we get into the paranormal smorgasbord?
The paranormal smorgasbord. Well, I've been working in the yard pulling weeds. I know before the show I said, oh my God, I don't have any fingernails anymore because I'm just out there pulling weeds and I'm in the yard and doing stuff. And been having a really, been super, super busy, can I just say? But when you don't really go anywhere to work, I know I'm working at home, but it's different. You lose track of days. So it's like, you're almost like, what day is this again? Do I need to be online at 8:00 or is it really Saturday? So it's kind of crazy. This weekend, Katie and I actually went with Jerry down to one of our haunts for a paranormal investigation. And we went down to our southern destination. You've been there, Heidi. I haven't been there for a very long time. And we decided to go during the day only because at night it's just filled with, hoodlums, actually, is what I say. Unless you have security with, you really can't go there at night anymore, which is sad. Yeah. But that place is active day or night. Doesn't matter. It's just, there's just things there. And, last week we talked about the creepers down at Waverly, and we talked about, I felt like they're just those icky supernatural creatures, that there's several of them down at Walcott, and they were there in abundance, and we didn't have Jeff with us, he has a Kinex and he has caught some super video of these things crawling up the walls. But, you know, it's to the point where I don't even want to be in that big building anymore because they're just, they're everywhere. And when we first got there, we were doing some EVP work and we had our K2 meters out. And, you know, there are children spirits there, a lot of them actually. And, you know, we were talking to them and then pretty soon it was like just wiped out. And I'm sure it's these supernatural things down there. You know, they're just kind of clamping them down. And, you know, I told Jerry, I said, you know, I think what we need to do is come down here and try to clear those ishy things out of there. You know, and I don't know if we can do it, but I sure think we're going to give it a try, you know, and figure it out. We went over to the cemetery portion too. You know, and of course, while we're there, Katie and I are looking around, and of course, we found a couple of things that we think could be stick structures from Bigfoot. You know, it's a pretty squatchy area down there. So yep. We think we'll probably go down there and look for that too. But yeah, it's just, but the cemetery portion had a totally different feel than the last time we were there. And it was lighthearted. The birds were chirping. There were flowers. It was like I was in a totally different place. It was like, what is this? This is not what I remember of this place. You know, kind of weird. I don't know what's happened down there. But
yeah, that brings up a topic that I do want to talk about tonight, but I'll save it for a little bit later. But mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, it's, I guess it's good and not good that you can't just wander around in there anymore because I think there's so many things that people do in those locations that are not, they're just not good for all of the reasons, not just being disrespectful to spirits or whatever. They could get hurt. Mm-hmm. They could get hurt and like hurt physically and spiritually, you know, I mean,
Knows?
So there's a whole bunch of reasons. I'm glad that, you know, they're kind of locking that down because there's just too many variables that people don't think about.
I don't know if they're locking it down. I still think, you know, that's why I won't go there at night unless we have security with us, because there are just too many unsavory people that go there at night to drink, to shoot, to do whatever it is they're going to do. And I think because of that, I call it dirty energy and kind of mean energy, these supernatural things are just getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And we've seen this over the years. I mean, the first time we went there was probably 8 years ago. So over these 8 or 9 years, I don't really know exactly when, but 8 or 9 years, it's just gotten darker and darker and darker. And these things are just ickier and ickier and ickier. And, you know, they're shooting trees, and you know how I love my trees. And there's this beautiful cottonwood there that they've been shooting, and she has this big, almost this big hole in her trunk from shots. And she's just so sad, Heidi. It was terrible, you know, and I said prayers for her and, you know, did some stuff. And I said, boy, next time we're down there, we got to do some other stuff, do some smudging down there. And I hope they stop that. You know,
that's what I'm saying though, is that there's so many reasons that it should be closed if people can't be respectful.
Yes.
And also to not get hurt or damage what's there, you know? So, I'm glad that they're closing it down.
Well, I wish they would. I wish they would. But, you know, it's a wildlife management area now, right? So I think it's open to anybody at any time. I don't know maybe not after 10 or 11, but people still go in there, you know, and they do bad things in there. They really do bad things in there. So, But anyway, so it was interesting to be back there. I haven't been there for a year and a half or 2 years, I think, you know, but they clearly told us whatever it was. I had left the building and Katie and Jerry were in there and their K2 meters were, I don't know if they felt like they didn't want them there anymore. And they asked that question. And of course, the K2 meters were crazy. And so they said, okay, we're out of here, you know, and they were. But I don't know. Like I said, I think it's worth a shot. You know, maybe we can go down there and try to cleanse it and clear all those ishy things and try to get them out of there. And then maybe the children spirits can come out and talk to us again and tell us if they need help or if they're hanging out, they just want to stay. And, you know, because we used to talk to a lot of them. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I said, I'm worth it. I'll do it, you know. So anyhow, so that's what we did. So that was fun because I haven't done a paranormal thing for a while. So that was interesting and it was fun to do and felt like the old Sim Crew really because we're three of the original six, you know. So it was fun. Cool. How about you? So what have you been doing? I know you've been doing a lot of stuff out in the yard and tending the gardens and bees and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, I'm trying to, because of the weather being nice, you know, you don't have a ton of time throughout the year in Minnesota. So it is nice to get outside. And my goal throughout this process, and it will take years, mm-hmm. is to make it a very energy positive space regarding the different elements, the four elements. And so, well, five, six, seven elements, right? And so being really focused on integrating the right energy into the space, since we just, you know, moved, mm-hmm. integrating the energy properly as we start to do new things with the land and the new, you know, processes. So, you know, it's really, that's important. This, you know, in this space, it feels like it is open to it, that it wants that kind of energy. It wants that kind of care. You can feel that in the land. And so that's been really fun to start to figure out what does that look like. So, and then the practical pieces of making a garden and, you know, starting a bee sanctuary, I guess, and a fruit farm and stuff like that has been really, that's hard, actually. It's really hard. It sounds fun until you actually have to do the work and haul 5-gallon buckets of water around because you have to mix certain stuff in there for the trees. And it's like, oh my gosh. So it's incredibly hard, but it's really good. It's mm-hmm. good to have this project started in, you know, this lockdown period, or now we're coming out of it. But mm-hmm. that's been really nice to have that mm-hmm. as a project. And I wanted a garden, right? So the garden is now like 50 feet long, 15 feet wide, and it has 7-foot 4x4 posts. It actually has 10-foot posts, but 3 feet are in the ground. And then it's going to have this wire mesh all around the bottom and then a net over the top. Mm-hmm. So the birds can't get in, the deer can't get in, anything. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was going to be some little garden, right, that's going to have a little fence you step over. Apparently you can't do that out here because the deer will get over the fence. Oh, everything will get over the fence. Mm-hmm. So, and I have strawberries and all that other stuff already growing. And so I'm like, Tim's like, well, let's just cover the whole thing. We'll make it so it's like a walk-in garden. And so I'm super excited about that. He's already made the door with mm-hmm. the spring hinges that go closed when you walk through. It's like, oh, this is super cool. Mm-hmm. So yeah, mm-hmm. it's going to be a huge garden. I'm not going to plant the whole thing. Obviously I can't yet this year because it's not done. So I already have some vegetables started. I'm going to put some vegetables in, but next year will be the first real big year because it's already kind of late to get stuff mm-hmm. in, but mm-hmm. it's exciting to work on all this stuff. It's just really hard because there's a lot of property and, but I want to do it the right way. You know, I really want to incorporate the elements, you know, mm-hmm. to really make sure that this is, I don't want to have to keep redoing it. You know, I'll keep adding to it, but I want to make sure that in certain areas of the property, we're working with certain elements because that's what feels right in those areas. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that's been really fun to, you know, talk to the land and find out what it wants, because working with the land and harmonizing with the land will make it so much more, it'll just be better energy and I think more fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And you know, it is a lot of work. It is, you know, I can't even imagine because I have a hard time with just my little, you know, suburban lot. But, well, you know, I'm old too. I keep saying, oh my God, I'm so old.
No, you need to quit saying that. Okay.
Oh my gosh. You know, I don't know what it is though. There's just something about everything that's going on in the world right now that it's exhausting just thinking about it all, you know, and I think that's part of it too. You know, we're just, wow, so much going on. But yeah, I hear what you're saying and it's good. And it's good to ask. And I know I was digging up some more garden this just yesterday because I wanted different flowers that I don't have that I used to have, but then they were kind of taken over by the coneflowers and oh my gosh. So I'm just out there digging and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is just craziness. But fun all at the same time, you know, it's fun. So good stuff.
Yeah, it is fun. And it is, like I said, it's really interesting to work with the land on how the land wants to be, you know, and I do that like when I go to, I work with people who need help with their businesses and the energy of a space. And I think, who was it? Sherry asked, in the chat room. No, Karen asked, do you incorporate feng shui? And I do a little bit. I'm not studied in it. But really, and this is probably the same, sort of the same thing. I won't say it's the same thing as as that, because that's a study that takes a long time to learn. But just going in and asking the space what it needs to be helpful and have a balance, you know, give and receive, you know, you work with the space. And so I do that with people's businesses all the time. They hire me to come in and say, you know, this isn't working in our space, like energy or whatever, or productivity, or whatever. Is there anything we can do to the energy of the space or the rearranging of something to help with the space? And so I do that in the house. I do that in the garden. It works. Mm-hmm. And if you just listen and don't let your mind get in the way or your own thoughts and just listen to what the earth has to tell you, it'll tell you exactly what it needs.
Yep.
And it will be an amazing partnership then. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
And you're right about the house too. I mean, for how long have I said, oh, I'm going to make that extra bedroom of mine into an office. And then it just didn't happen because something was telling me no. And then I thought, oh, I'm going to make a little nook in the basement. And it's fabulous down here. It is absolutely fabulous. Who would have ever thought? You know what I mean? It's just really cool. So, and you're right. And outside too, you know, it tells you, I think something was telling me, hey, we need more flow. We need some of those black-eyed Susans again out here, Steph, because we used to have them. I don't know. But I agree. I agree. It's good to listen to nature. And like I said about that, I'm still thinking about that tree down there. It was just, I put my hand on her and honestly, I cried. I was crying because she's in pain, you know, and I know it's probably been going on for a while because, I mean, my God, I mean, a whole chunk of her is carved out from these bullets, you know, it's so sad. Oh my God. But today I'm on this app called Nextdoor. I don't know if you have that or not.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody had written on there this afternoon, that they had neighbors who had brought in 3 ducklings for their kids at Easter, right? Okay. And then suddenly, like a couple of days ago, they went somewhere and the ducks were gone. And this woman was down in a park near me and saw them. So they let them go. Domesticated ducks. Oh, they let them, they just put them out in the pond, you know, there. And I said, oh my God. We can't leave them there because you know what happens. Those wild ducks will grab them and they'll beat them. And these were female ducks. And I, you know, you've heard these horrible stories about how the male wild ducks, you know, literally rape them to death. You know, I said, and she said, my son and I are going down there. We're trying to find somebody that can take them and could use some people to help. And so Casey and I ran down there. I said, well, because they were down there. And I said, okay, well, I have 15 minutes. I'm in the middle of my workday, but I can take 15 minutes and then I have to get home for a call. And we went down there. And who would have thought it was that hard to, you know, chase down 3 ducks? I'm not sure. I mean, when we got there, they were there and they had food for them and they were kind of hanging because they'd been raised by humans. And so, but they couldn't get them in the basket. And so I said, okay, well, here's what I know about raptors. If there's an injured raptor, because we've rescued an injured hawk, you know? And so what you do is you put the blanket or a towel or something, you just put it on top of them and grab them. You know, I said, let's try that, you know? So we were able to get 2 of them that way, but one of them then ran down in the pond and I'm like, oh my God,
great.
You know? And she said, well, we have 2 of them and I had brought this humongous box. So they were in the box and she said, I think my son and I can get that last one. I know you have to go. And I said, yeah, I really do, you know, but so the good news is yes, they got all 3 of them and they actually found a home for them. Somebody on the thread was a bird veterinarian and she knew someone who would take these ducks in and they posted a picture of these 3 ducks. It looked like they were in a kitchen wherever they were at their new home, you know. Oh, so it's such a heartwarming story. But yeah, you know, people just cannot be letting ducks or anything that should be in the wild that they've had in their possession just dump them in the wild because these poor things hadn't eaten for days. They were starving, you know. And she said they were just all huddled underneath the bridge scared to death, you know. And I, you know, whatever. So I just had to share that. Yes, found safe and sound, and now they're at their new forever home. And like I said, I saw pictures of them, and it looked like they were in a kitchen. So awesome.
Well, good.
You know?
That's probably
yeah.
where they're going to feel more comfortable instead of outside in the wild.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Because she said they were in their backyard, you know, and they were loose in the backyard unless they went somewhere or whatever. And then they were in like a cage. But she said, you know, but she said, I said, well, what do you know about them? She said, I don't know. I don't talk to those people. They're not very nice. I'm like, well, apparently not, you know. So anyway, so that was a good thing that happened today. That's, you know, besides seeing the goslings this morning, you know, then the duck thing was just fun. Dave says, once they're no longer eggs, it's hard to get them all in one basket. Yes. But I did have a, like I said, I brought this ginormous Chewy.com box over there, and they fit just fine into that.
Nice.
Yeah. So, paranormal. So, we're going to talk about paranormal now.
First, I think what we should do is ask anybody, because this is something that we're going to talk about in the show, but I want to start with something else first to give people a chance to go in the chat room and talk about paranormal lockdown, right? So we're all coming out of a lockdown, and I think we've all heard more stories right now of people having activity in their homes during lockdown, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to hear anyone's stories that have happened since the lockdown or during the lockdown that you have that you think might be paranormal, or, you know, leave it for us to decide, or it's definitely paranormal, whatever. Go ahead and drop it in the chat room and we'll talk about it in a little bit here, because that's something that we've all been seeing to some degree. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
If you have any stories, go ahead and drop them in the chat room and we can read about them here in a little bit. But one of the things that I wanted to start
unprecedented.
What's that?
I said it's unprecedented how much time we're all at home now.
Well, yeah. I mean, we haven't had to do this, at least in our generation forever, right? So one of the things that I want to start with, though, is because of something you said, it reminded me of something that came up a couple weeks ago, a conversation that I was having with someone about children's spirits, right? And I was talking to her about just children's spirits. And I said, you know, I'd be careful when I'm, you know, when people are communicating with children's spirits, because 9 times out of 10, it's not a kid.
Yes.
And I said, it's very hard for people to know if it's really a child or not. They might swear up and down it's children, but it really isn't, because 9 times out of 10, it's someone impersonating a child or saying that they're a child or manifesting as a child to get attention, to get someone to let their guard down. And so I was talking about this with her, and she's like, are you serious? So, you know, that she brought up a couple of examples of stuff that I've said. I'm like, well, they're kid spirits, but that's as far as I know right now, because that's what they're presenting to me as, is children. So I'll leave it at that. But I always use caution too, because I don't know for sure. Because children are, they're different, you know, they're more guarded. They're watched over by spirit guides and protectors. And when they pass away as children, when people pass away as children, they're handled differently a lot of times than adults. So it's not as common. It really is not common to find children spirits.
No.
And
no,
so it was an interesting conversation.
Yeah. No, you are correct. Yep.
So it's just interesting when people talk about, because it comes up a lot in paranormal investigation. So I think there's a child here. I think there's a child there. I think there's, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say, I'll say no every time. And then I'd like to be proven wrong, because rarely does it end up being a child. So it was interesting hearing like the children's spirits, because I'm like, I know that children have died in a lot of places, absolutely, and it's terrible. And their energy might still be there, but the actual soul is unlikely to be a child.
Well, we have had, and you could be right, but we have had some, you know, we've done so much work there, and we've asked questions and, you know, received answers, and could it be something else? Yeah, could be. But I mean, at least they were, you know, I really feel like, you know, there was one Emily and there was one Elizabeth, and I really felt that they were children's spirits. I'm not saying the rest of them were. In fact, I think there was a couple of male spirits that were kind of holding them down too. But there's all these other ishy things there too. My icky supernatural creatures too that are damping everything down. So I don't know. It's hard to say. It really is hard to say. But
yeah.
we have run into child spirits though. I mean, they are there. They are around.
It does happen, but it's just rare.
They're way less frequent than adult spirits.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just rare. And anyone I know, because I've seen spirits who have told, you know, presented as children, and up and down, you look and you're like, yeah, that's a kid. But if you really read it deeper and spend time, you'll see it's probably not a kid. Like, it's every time I can feel it. When I get to a certain depth, I can feel that it's something being misleading, and it's not a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say 99% of the time, not a kid. Because there's so many spirits out there that just want to communicate. They want to get attention. They want to have you let your guard down, depending on how nasty they are. So they'll do a very, very good job of letting you think that it's a child. Because we'll do different things as investigators if we're dealing with a child than if we're dealing with, you know, an adult spirit or other kind of spirit.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. It's just interesting because I just had that conversation like 2 weeks ago with someone. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, if you're not a paranormal investigator, you know, you kind of believe other things, you know, because you're not experienced and you don't know what's mm-hmm. going on, you know? Yeah. Yep. And then people, orbs. You know, we talked about that before the show, too.
Yeah. Orbs are tough.
Orbs are tough. You know, and that was one of the things that I found, you know, in the news, too. But so what were you going to talk about first? Because I think you had something you were going to chat about.
Oh, well, no, I just had a short list of things. One of them was being, you know, with how much spirit activity has been happening.
Yeah.
With the lockdown and how much people are aware of now in their houses. I don't think that there's any more activity. No, I shouldn't say that. I do think there's more activity, but I don't think it's as much as people think, because I think it's always, a lot of it's already been there. It's just that people aren't home as much. So I'm just curious as to what all has been going on with people in their homes now that they've been there more. Or some people, I was actually reading online, when they first were starting the lockdown, they went to go, they're like, hey, as long as I don't have to go into work and I can work from anywhere. So they'd go rent an Airbnb somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere nice, you know, somewhere different that they'd want to hang out for 6 weeks or 8 weeks. And they're like, what did I rent? This place is haunted, like seriously haunted. And now you're stuck there for 6 weeks or however long you rented it for in this, you know, new place, which could have some bearing on it if it's a new place and you're just kind of freaked out because it's a new place. But anyway, so I was just, that was one of the things that I wanted to ask about tonight is some of the, and then the children's spirits. So, but I've got a couple other things too, but I don't have to keep talking because I've been talking a lot here.
Well, I think we both have. We're kind of talking in my own. So one of the things, so we'll talk about that for sure. And you know, I do think that there's, you know, we often say that there's spirits everywhere because there really are. And if you're spending so much time in one spot, you know, like if you're home, you know, you're obviously, but at the same time, could it be knocks and stuff because the seasons are changing? Absolutely. I mean, I think people really have to think about all these things and determine whether it's real or something explainable.
Right. Well, and that goes back to what we were talking about with orbs too, is, you know, is it something or is it something you can explain away, like through dust or a bug mm-hmm. or whatever? That's why it's so tricky, because you have to be able to rule a lot of things out, and it's tough when it's an orb. That's just a tough deal. You know, one of the things with orbs, and I'm sure you do this too, is I look for layering of evidence when it comes to orbs, because mm-hmm. I would never take an orb as a face value, like it's a entity or manifestation or something, right?
Right.
I always look for layers. The only time I'll consider an orb is if something else is going on at the same time. So one of the pictures when we took pictures down at Whispers Estate, in that closet I talked about last week, the closet door that was opening
mm-hmm.
by itself, right? And in the pictures, you can see an orb near the closet. And there's also a reflection from the mirror. So I know that there's, I'm like, well, it could be the reflection of the mirror a second reflection. Not, there's one reflection you can tell clearly is from the mirror, and there's another fainter one that's in a different spot. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Because someone, I posted them and someone mentioned it to me. And they go, do you think that's an orb? Because that's the closet that kept opening. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, the closet opening by itself was pretty phenomenal, you know, mm-hmm. because we could not pull it open ourselves. Absolutely was, it couldn't be unlatched by itself. So I thought that was interesting. Then to also see an orb in the photo, it gives me pause because I think, well, here now we have two things. We have right. activity and an orb.
Yep.
That's interesting. If we would have gotten some kind of like EVP or a K2 hit or something else at the same time, I'd be even more interested.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't just take orbs going for orbs like, oh, yeah, it's totally paranormal. No way. It could be dust. It could be a reflection. It could be some kind of digital noise from your camera because who knows how these things totally work. I don't understand them. So there's so many things that you have to rule out first. It's hard. So I like layers of evidence to help kind of bring it into a possibility.
Yep. Like if you know something's happening, you have an EVP, you can feel something and then you see these orbs. Okay, maybe. But yeah, because orbs can be moisture orbs. They can be dust orbs. They can be just a multitude of things, you know? So yeah, I agree. And this article that I read was pretty much discounting all orbs pretty much. And I don't think that's right either. But,
no, I don't think it's black and white either.
No, but I, like I said, I do think if there is more evidence, like you said, layering it all on, and you see them, okay, then it could be real, you know, for sure. You know what? We're 31 minutes past the hour already, so I think we need to go to commercial break. So we will be back in 2 minutes. This is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para X Radio Network.
Vampires, werewolves, skinwalkers, all of this and more, Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us. Horror author James Hershey Jr. from the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Check out the book that started it all. What critics called the scariest book of the year. I am Legion. And if you're still breathing, check out the other two books in the series. The Surrogate of Souls and The Rise of the Revenant. These books will scare the hell out of you. That, I promise.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Network. We are doing our paranormal smorgasbord here tonight. Our first Tuesday of every month, we're going to do a whole potluck of paranormal stories. Right? You bring your potluck to the metaphysical table.
Yes.
And we share from your dish.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a stretch. I might not be able to go that far with it.
We might share from your
dish.
That's
kind of what we're doing. That's how Sarge came up with the name. He's like, well, you're gathering around the metaphysical table. You can make a smorgasbord. And it's like, oh, that's cool. So that's what we're doing.
That is really cool. Yeah.
Bringing all sorts of interesting topics to the table.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I know that this really isn't paranormal, but as you know, America launched two people into space on Sunday with SpaceX, which is a private company. I mean, this is like history, right? Because it's always been government. And so NASA contracted with Para-X. I'm Para-X.
That would be Space, super cool, though.
I know, right? SpaceX. And they, you know, made this new rocket. They launched it. And I was, you know, held my breath as this rocket went up into space because, as you know, there's been tragedy before. Mm-hmm. And but it went off without a hitch. And the name of the capsule is Dragon, right? So isn't that awesome? I love it. And then the astronauts named the spaceship Endeavour. I imagine, in, you know, regards to the Endeavour was the one that exploded. Am I right? I can't remember for sure. But so fun. It's so fun. And then they docked with the space station and we watched that too. And oh my gosh, it took hours for them from the minute they docked to actually get aboard the space station. And it was very fun to watch. They were so excited. Well, who wouldn't be? You know, sitting there in that little chair for, you know, 24 hours and then actually being able to move around. How fun is that? But how exciting. I mean, this is really exciting. This is fun because we haven't had anything go up into space for a decade, right? I think 2010 was the last space shuttle.
Yeah, it's insane to think about that. And to really, I mean, can you imagine the amount of training has its outer limits because mm-hmm. how impossible that seems when you think about having to dock your spaceship at the International Space Station. Like, I applaud all the people that go through the massive amounts of training that mm-hmm. it takes to do that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'm looking at, they're saying, you know, going 17,000 miles an hour.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That's about, like, what?
Oh, I know. Because they talked about how fast they were going as they were going up, you know, and it was, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 7,000, 9,000. And then, yeah, like you said, 17,000 miles an hour. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Well, they're talking about the space station, the mm-hmm. astronauts heading up to the space link or to space to link up with the space station, which is orbiting the Earth at 250 miles above the Earth and traveling 17,000 miles an hour. And then you have to link up with it.
Yes. Yes. And that's what they did. And that's what took so long. And then it took so long once they were linked up to actually get in. You know, it was like, oh, my gosh, this is crazy. And but how fun is that? And they're so cool. The new spacesuits are so cool. They're so much smaller than the old ones, you know. And they
technology
just have,
is so awesome.
Oh, yeah. And they have so many cameras now. So everything was on screen. You know, they showed what it looked like from outside the rocket when they were blasting off, and they had cameras on each of the boosters. And all these boosters, by the way, which was interesting, they came back to Earth and landed properly on a ship that was made just for that purpose. So they didn't just go, you know, kaploom in the ocean or whatever. They actually landed aboard these ships. Amazing? Oh my gosh. It's just totally mad. But and this Elon Musk, who's the CEO of SpaceX, what a cool guy. I saw an interview with him on Tuesday, I think it was last week, because it was originally supposed to go up on Wednesday. And so think about those astronauts had been sitting there for like 5 hours when the mission was scrubbed because the weather was bad. So, yeah.
Frankly, I'd be okay with that if it was me, because you don't want to be doing this in bad weather, I would imagine. It's tricky in good weather.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. You know, but yeah, but what, yeah, they must have big patience is what I can say. Cause oh my gosh, but cool stuff. I'm so glad we're back in space. You know, this is just the coolest thing ever. So, and you know, the pictures they're getting back now are just so fun. It's fun to watch. And it just reminds me of being a kid, you know, in front of the black and white TV and watching, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, anyway, enough of that. We're supposed to be talking about paranormal things.
No, it's,
but that's
it's
pretty cool,
though.
Yeah.
It's out of this world. That counts, right?
It's out of this world, for sure. Yes. Oh. So, so what else were you looking up? You know what? I lost, for some reason, my internet is not playing well with me tonight, and so it kicked me out of my browser, so I lost all the things I was looking at.
Well, I have something that actually I was watching. Oh, was it Amazon Prime Ghost Adventures? I wasn't actually watching it. I do watch it now because Tim has it on, so he's watching it. And they were at a trestle in a a train trestle in Texas. At first, I thought they were at Popelik Trestle, so that's why I was tuning in. I'm like, oh, they're at a trestle? And he goes, yeah, they're in Texas. And I went, oh, cool. So they were investigating a different trestle that is supposed to have paranormal activity as well. So then that made me start thinking. I'm like, well, that's interesting. I mean, not that, you know, there's a thousand haunted houses right out there. And so why wouldn't there be multiple train trestles that might have activity? But so then I started thinking, because we've done investigations too that have train tracks nearby. And it kind of seems like those affect the energy of the area. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got these train tracks with all this metal and history, and you know, if they're older, the amount of labor that went into building them and possible, you know, slave labor that went into building them. And, you know, then you have these energies of the people who are transporting goods back and forth, the danger being on a train, you know, the possible dangers. You know, so you have all this energy, plus now you have a trestle which pushes these trains up how high into the air. Mm-hmm. That create all sorts of other dangers and energies and possible stress. And so it's interesting just to, you know, it's kind of cool to think about the different energies that might make up even some kind of like a, I don't know, portal type energy at mm-hmm. those locations. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess I hadn't thought about it until I saw another one. I'm like, whoa, yeah, I guess that makes sense that there would be paranormal energies or feels like paranormal energies at these locations. You know, the amount of energy from the train to the tracks and that's generated and all that could, and plus whatever's around it, the history of the land there. So it's just, mm-hmm. it's interesting. I guess it, I don't know why it caught me off guard, but it kind of did to yeah. think, oh, there's probably a bunch of trestles that have that same kind of energy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that we feel when we go to the Popelik Trestle mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. having this energy of something otherworldly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, for sure. And so it makes you just want to run out and investigate train trestles, doesn't it? I mean, right. We have no. investigated a few, and a lot of them do have a lot of paranormal activity. Of course, the best one is the Popelik, because we just don't know what's going on down there. But yeah, there's something for sure there. You know.
Yeah, it's just, it's one of those things that you wonder if all these factors come together and create some kind of charge in these locations, you know, mm-hmm. because there is a lot of energy. And I don't know if it's also when you're at the bottom and you're looking up and you have this vertigo kind of thing happening that might impact, you know, how you feel there, or I don't know. Cause I don't know about you, but for me, when I look up at buildings, I don't care if I'm on top of something looking down. I could be I've gone to the Grand Canyon, stood on the edge of the cliff, looked down, not dangerous edge, but close enough where some people are like, that's insane. I would freak out. I don't care. I don't care if I'm on a bridge. I can look down. I can be high up. It doesn't matter. But looking up from the ground, I don't know what it is, but my head starts to spin and I'm just like, no way. For whatever reason, it's the weirdest thing. So when I look up at the train trestle or even like really tall buildings or sculptures or statues or anything, I'm just like, nope. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but it totally gets me like woozy or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, interesting.
So I wonder if that affects maybe other people feel like that. And then they go to these places and all you're doing is staring up at these trestles, right? Mm-hmm. You're looking up and so you're getting this energy of like, woo, you know, but it's ooh, maybe yeah. this physical, you know, it's your own physical response to it. Anyway, and Jerry said, I agree with you. Do you? Okay, good. Because I thought, am I the only person that has this weird, like, thought? Like, it is. It's like I look up and I get dizzy. I can look down off the top of anything. I don't care how high it is. I could be up on a little teeny pole at the top and I don't care. It's just looking bottom up. I get really weird and woozy. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, yeah. Could be the energy. Could just be, you know, you. But Jerry's in the chat room is saying he feels the same way. So obviously yeah. they're too.
I wonder if other people do. And then maybe that might be part of. It's not to say that there isn't energies there, because I can feel that there's energies there anyway. Mm-hmm. But how interesting if you also have this physical response that might be adding to it. Although it does the exact opposite to me, because now I don't want to climb up because I feel woozy. Where you, mm-hmm. on the other hand, are like a monkey that wants to, like, zoom up to the top. So,
yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. But, yeah, train trestles, I just, yeah, there is something weird about them. I agree. Karen said that, too. She's like, well, there's just something weird about train trestles. And, yes, there most definitely is. Was it hard to climb? Well, I didn't climb it, Sherry. It was the Poplic trestle, and there is something there that calls to people to come up there. Are she talking about something else? I'm sorry. See, I'm not. Okay. Oh, okay. Kat's saying there was supposed to be a haunted trestle in her hometown, but she's climbed up and sat there and didn't seem at all odd.
Hmm. That one, I was wondering if it was still in use. Now, who has said that? Yeah, that was Kat. She said that she would sit up there. And I just wondered if it was still in use or not, because even if it's in use and you can sit up there and be fine, like, I don't want anybody to climb up on a train track or trestle or anything that's in use and you don't know how often it's going to be coming, because that's really dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if it was in use and she knew that there wasn't going to be train coming for hours and so she could sit up there for a few minutes, you know, that might change the energy if it's in use or it's not in use. Because you'd think that that energy going over these tracks would continue to add, you know, the train going over the tracks would continue to add to the energy.
You know, and you know, like Karen said, a lot of trestles are old and a lot of men died building them, especially if they're old like Poplic. I mean, that's really an old trestle, you know. In fact, when you look at it, you would never know if you didn't know that or see a train go by. You would think that it was an abandoned trestle. I mean, it really does look that way, you know, until the train comes. And then it's like, whoa, you know. And they do come quite often, like every half hour. Isn't that when we timed it when we were down there last?
I think when we were there, it came more often than that, but it wasn't right away. There was a gap in the beginning, and then they came like every 7 minutes or something. It was,
oh, wow.
Wasn't it? I thought it was really often. When we were there the second time, a couple weeks ago, there were no trains there for the first, I don't know, we were there for an hour, for the first 50 minutes. And then a train came, and then we went over to the park to have dinner because we packed our coolers, you know, because we're not going to restaurants and stuff. And so we went to a park. There's a park right on the other side of the road. I don't know if it's Public Park or whatever it's called, something like that. It's connected to the area. And we sat over there, and we heard trains all the time while we were sitting there.
Oh.
And so it was It must have had some kind of schedule where after, you know, a certain amount of time, all of a sudden they were just coming through, coming through, coming through. And you could be fooled by being there for, we were there for almost an hour and nothing. And so you think, oh, these no trains are coming through whatever. And then you start climbing around and you get in trouble. So,
well, Karen's asking, you just heard them, but you were in a different area. You weren't by the trestle. See, the Poplic trestle, there's a road that divides this park. It's like a parkway. And the Poplic trestle is on one side, and then there's kind of a highway. And then there's this other side where there's a park, and it's really pretty. There's like a little river that flows through there. And that's what the trestle is built over, but it's down the way a bit. So you wouldn't be able to see the trestle.
Yeah, we saw it after 50 minutes. One went over us, and so I took video and posted it. There was a train, and I saw it. So it was, I knew it was a real thing. It wasn't some, you know,
phantom,
like residual energy, audio or anything like that. But then, we went over to the park to have dinner after we were done investigating because we had to go to Waverly that night. And so we wanted to keep moving. But we heard multiple trains while we were sitting in the park. And that was probably the next hour we were over at the park having dinner.
Yeah.
So it was very active. So that energy, I would imagine, just keeps contributing to that area.
Yes, yes, yes. Like it always does. Yeah. You know, and those people that have died there, and, you know, there's really, there has been one every other year or every year for the last umpteen, because people are interested. So they go there and then they get under the spell, whatever it is. And then if you're not wary enough to turn it off, you just go up there and then boom, you know, you get hit by the train. So, I don't know. It's just, it's really a bizarre thing. It really is a bizarre thing, you know? So railroads, trestles, they're all kind of spooky for sure. I agree. They're all just, you know.
Sherry said in the chat room, she goes, I've thought of converting a train track to enclose it to make a house. Like the actual track, you want to turn, like, put a house over an old track? Is that what you're saying? Because that would be cool. Can you imagine incorporating a train track into your house?
I don't know. How would you do that? I would
want to see a picture of it if you could do it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of abandoned railroads now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
there are.
There's not. You could. I wonder if they'd let you do that. Like, if you could. That's interesting.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That would be interesting.
Kat said, she goes, there's a trestle in her hometown where goats are kept around it. She doesn't know why they're there, maybe to keep people off of it, but they always made me think of the three billy goats gruff.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're there to eat the grass so they don't have to mow.
Oh, maybe.
They don't have to mow around. And it might freak some people out. Mm-hmm. Because not everybody's up on goats, you know, and hanging out with goats. Yeah. So I bet it's to eat the grass so they don't have to mow.
Yeah, it could be. Three billy goats gruff. With the troll.
Or the troll, yeah. It could be they're just guarding the troll's house.
Exactly. I love it. I'm still thinking about the train as part of the house. You know,
I think it's cool. I just don't know if you could, because there just seem to be a lot of, can you buy the property that has the actual train track on it? Or do you buy it up to where the train track is and that's still state or government property or something like that? I don't know. Or train company property, whatever that's called.
You know, because it seems like all the old railroad tracks and old railroads are still there, you know, and I don't know that anybody ever buys them, right? So maybe they're still always owned by the railroad companies and they just are unused lines now, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, Karen said the railroads own all that. Okay, so if they do, they probably wouldn't sell it.
Mm-hmm. Even
if it's abandoned.
Because maybe someday they'll want to use them again, you know, so they don't want to, even if they've abandoned it, they don't want to lose the land. What?
Yeah, I said maybe we should find someone and ask them.
Yeah, that would be cool, right? Yeah.
But, you know what would be interesting is to have a show with someone who's worked on a railroad to see if they have any paranormal experiences.
Well, my brother used to work on the railroad.
Well,
we should have mine. He's sensitive like I am.
if he doesn't want to do it, maybe he knows someone that would want to be on the show and talk about their experiences. Or he could be on it with a couple of people.
Yeah, he used to be, actually, when he first started, he used to be on the crew that he'd go all over and build the actual railroads, you know, like in the Dakotas and stuff.
Cool.
When he was very young, you know.
Well, if anybody has experience, like recent experience too out there, anyone listening with railroads or working with railroads and has paranormal activity, let us know and we would bring you on the show.
Yeah.
Because that would be kind of an interesting.
Yeah, Gandy Gang. Yeah, that's what they call them. I'm going to ask him next time I talk to him. I'm going to ask him about that paranormal stuff on the railroad and see what he knows. Karin is saying they get converted to biking trails and hiking trails in Minnesota, and that is true. We have a lot of those trails in Minnesota that used to be.
Yep, they're paved over.
Tracks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that makes really good stuff, you know.
It is nice though for bike riding because it's usually nice and flat.
Mm-hmm. It is.
No hills.
No hills. Yeah.
No big hills anyway.
Yep. Yeah. So they're fun. Yeah, I forgot about that, but yeah, I'm gonna ask Chris. That's a good idea. So
I have a question that I found online
that
is not, I don't know, I found it online. Someone had asked this, and so I thought I'd put it out to everybody. And like, I know what I think, but I wanted to see what other people in the chat room and stuff, what you think.
Mm-hmm.
They were asking if meteor showers have an effect on paranormal activity here. They were asking, do you think meteor showers impact the type of activity or how frequent it is or how intense it is here on Earth?
Never thought about that.
I didn't either, but I thought it was a cool question.
Well, you know, a meteor shower is really just the Earth going through, what is it, comet trails or something? Is that what it is? What is a meteor shower? They go through, I haven't thought about it for a while, but it's the Earth moving through some form of matter in space. So mm-hmm. I'm not sure that that would create any energy here on Earth. I guess I don't know. I suppose the meteors coming into the atmosphere creating energy. Karin's like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I think they do. Although Karen has a point, she goes, I don't think all meteor showers are meteor showers.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Which, true, you don't actually know what they are unless someone in the science field says it's a meteor shower, but then you have to trust that they're giving you the right information and it's not a government conspiracy cover up.
Right.
Whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But I think so. Yeah, Jerry says magnetic. I think it does. I think it would impact us here. It would change things even just slightly. You know, think of how the planet alignments, you know, different alignments of the planets can affect things here. That's I would imagine a meteor shower zooming past our planet would be impactful in some way.
Could be. I never thought about that. You know, we have the major one that's in August, the Perseids meteor shower, and then there's another one. Is it in the spring? I can't remember. But the biggest one is the one that's in August, and that's really fun to go out and see because there's a ton of them.
Yeah, it's really... Karen says they're awe-inspiring. That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what they are, because then she also says, or it could be aliens.
Mm-hmm.
True.
That's true.
What if? What if? Because we talked about this last time. With the moon being an alien satellite, what if meteors are alien satellites? And we happen to go through this alien highway, which it looks like asteroids, but really it's their vehicles. And we just happen to move through their highway.
Well, I looked up meteor showers because I was right. So a meteor shower happens when the Earth passes through the path of a comet. When this happens, the bits of comet debris, most no longer or larger than a grain of sand, create streaks of light in the night sky as they burn up in the atmosphere. Mm. And bits of debris that enter the Earth's atmosphere are called meteors. There you have it. Interesting. I don't know. I never thought about that. That is interesting.
Right. So that's what I saw that question. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I want to bring that up on the show because you don't think about stuff like that, I guess. And yeah, then when we start talking about, you know, turning it into something else, like an alien spacecraft, then you go, oh my gosh, we could go all night with this one now.
And then
Kat says, well, technically they are alien because they're not from Earth. Well, that is true.
That's true.
But I want to think about it being a little aircraft. Or big aircraft. It should be a big aircraft.
Doesn't it make you want to schedule a paranormal investigation when there's a meteor shower happening?
Kinda.
Yeah. Think about this. Yeah. Well, we need to revisit this one. Let's think about this. And
would be interesting doing something in August, doing an outdoor investigation.
Mm-hmm.
See if we can, or even indoor. I guess it'd be buggy as all get out at night, but. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even doing it, I would imagine it doesn't matter if you're outside, actually. Of course, Heidi. Yeah, we could do some kind of, or do some, what we could do is just do it and then record it for the show.
Yeah.
And see if we can catch anything and then we can play it for the show. Let's do that in August.
Let's find out what.
Because it would be interesting to see if there was, you know, somewhere that maybe we're familiar with. So we kind of know what to expect for activity.
Yeah.
And then see if it's different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's do that for sure. Karen's saying it could be August meteor investigation.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll find out. Usually it's like around the 10th of August, I think. 10th, 11th, 12th, something, somewhere right around there.
Yeah,
let's find out the date. We'll find a good place to go and be it outside or inside or whatever and just go do it and see if it's, you know, more active than normal. Maybe do one more before the meteor shower and see if we get more activity during this meteor shower. Let's do that. We'll put it on the calendar. Good idea.
Cool. All right. We have to wrap it up.
We do. So, yeah, everyone, thanks for listening tonight. This was a fun first paranormal smorgasbord on the Gathering Radio Show.
And thank you to Para X for hosting our show. Sarge, our most awesome producer.
Yeah.
Everybody in the chat room and listening, we just love you to pieces. So thank you all for being here tonight.
Yeah.
And stay safe, everybody. And we'll see you next week.
And if there's any troops listening, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Have a good week.
Have a good week.